Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. The number of violent crimes in the United States dropped significantly last year to what appeared to be the lowest rate in nearly 40 years. In all regions, the country appears to be safer. The odds of being murdered or robbed are now less than half of what they were in the early 1990s when violent crime peaked in the U.S. Small towns especially are seeing far fewer murders. In cities with populations under 10,000, the number plunged by more than 25%. The development is a bit puzzling, perhaps, because it runs counter to the prevailing expectation that crime would increase during a recession. The New York Times ran with this headline, "Steady Decline in Major Crime Baffles the Experts." Well, I'm now so pleased to say that we've got the country's premier expert on crime and statistics here with us today, and he is none other than my former law professor, Franklin Zimring. Professor Zimring is the William G. Simon Professor of Law and Wolfen Distinguished Scholar at Berkeley Law School, but he has just finished up a semester as a visiting fellow at the New York University Law School, where he has been working on a forthcoming book on the decline in New York City's crime rate. Professor Zimring, I can't tell you what a treat it is to have you on the air this morning.
Well, good morning.
It's a coincidence. I hadn't even secured this booking. I just learned that you were going to be on, and I was thrilled.
Well, it's a smaller world than one would expect, and a very puzzling one. And let me start by giving you a long, ponderous, contextual lecture, so you'll be sure that I'm an academic. The significant declines in violent crime in the United States over the last 2 years become both important and baffling only in the context of sort of the last 20 years. After crime explosively grew in the 1960s through the early 1970s, it then just sort of fluctuated around a new high level in the U.S., with big cities being the center of the action. Into the early 1990s. The biggest crime drop in the last half century took place in the 1990s, not extremely recently, and ended for most of the country right at the turn of the century, the year 2000. About 40% was the drop. And then what happened next nationwide was sort of aimlessness. Some cities went up, some cities went down. There was no absolute trend. And everybody got nervous. And the reason everybody got nervous is that nobody could explain the decline in the 1990s. And you can't predict what you can't explain. It's a little bit like the stock market. Then comes two factors which are brand new to the American policy climate of the 1970s, 80s, 90s, and since. The first thing that happened in the middle of the first decade of the new century was that prison populations in the United States stopped growing. From 1972 to 2006, prison populations grew every year in the United States. They grew sixfold. Mm-hmm. It was a sort of a Guinness Book of World Record expansion. And sometimes that was associated with increasing crime. Then in the 90s, because you had both a decline in crime and an increase in imprisonment, people were saying, you see, what happens is if we lock them all up, crime goes down. Then, after 35 years of huge increases in prison population, 2008 and 2009 were probably the first clear years in the United States when as many or more people left prison as were shipped up to prison, so that the net incapacitation effect, which had been substantial for every single year in the last generation, disappeared. And to the extent that that was our primary defense against violent crime, that was reason number one to be nervous. Reason number two was that the economy in 2008 went to hell and didn't get a lot better in 2009 and didn't get a lot better in 2010. So that what you had were intuitions that things were about to get very much worse. And instead, what happened was a pretty significant, on the range of about 10%, two-year decline that was, again, a general trend. Whether you were in Miami or Los Angeles or Chicago, east, west, north, south, crime went down.
Which gets us back to the New York Times headline, "Steady Decline in Major Crime Baffles Experts," precisely because we are in a recession. And I do want to ask you, Professor, specifically in just a moment about New York City and some other places where actually crime has not gone down. It has increased slightly in the last calendar year, New York and Newark and places like that. But for context, I want our listeners to know that these new numbers are based on FBI data collected from 13,000 law enforcement agencies. When you name all of the locales you've named, we are talking about FBI numbers that have been released based on data from more than 13,000 law enforcement agencies. And, Professor, most criminology experts are saying they are surprised by the numbers. And I guess it sounds as though you are as well?
Oh, sure. But I'm not surprised by being baffled. I wrote a book called The Great American Crime Decline that Oxford published about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
That was essentially a deconstruction. There were an awful lot of intuitions around to explain retrospectively movements in crime. The notion that incapacitation was driving this. If you lock up more people, crime rates will go down. What people forgot was the period from 1985 to 1991, which was the largest of the growth spurts in American imprisonment. And more prisons meant more crime then. They only remembered it when things seemed to be consistent with the theory that was around. With regard to crime and the economy, there have been two times when we've really been burned thinking that there was a close relationship between the two. The most explosive growth in American violence and crime was from the mid-60s to the mid-70s. Well, that was a period of general prosperity, particularly at the beginning of that. And then the late 1980s, which was an explosive violent crime increase again, was a period of some general prosperity. So the baffling part, the fact that there is no firm sort of scientific footing, no laws of gravity to animate our expectations, doesn't come as a major surprise. And I'd rather be puzzled by good news than be able to explain quickly very bad news with received science. And that brings us to New York.
Well, before we get to New York, Professor, I do want to remind our listeners that I am on the line with Professor Frank Zimmering of the Berkeley Law School. He joins us from Berkeley, California. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC AM and FM. and WMYC.org. And we are talking about the drop in the national rate of crime as announced Monday by the FBI after an extensive national survey. We are going to take a turn now and talk about our listening area, including New York. If you're surprised to hear that crime is down, especially in the middle of a period of economic hardship, give a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. Wouldn't you think crime would go up? Or if you have a question for our expert, Professor Frank Zimring of Berkeley Law School, on this topic, call us up, 212-433-9692. Now, of course, Professor, we have been speaking nationally, but here in New York, we did not enjoy the decline. We saw murders jump just a bit from the previous year, an additional 65 murders by my reporting, and the number of rapes, forcible rapes, increased by 24.5%, robberies up by 5.4%. I'm sure Mayor Bloomberg is not happy to have me rattle all of this off, but in fact, New York was the only city with more than a million people, San Antonio being the only other city, to have an increase in the total number of violent crimes, and the only one besides Philly to see a rise in murders. So you've been here for the last several months at NYU working on a book on this very topic. What do you make of that?
Okay. That is not a good way to measure New York's crime. That's a one-year blip.
Because we've done well over the course of the last decade, haven't we?
Well, no. Over the course of the last 20 years, New York is in a class by itself. That is to say, the statistics that you have ending in 2010 for most large American cities have something like a 50% decline in crime. In New York City, over the 19 years between 1990 and 2009, safety crime, the crimes that people worry about, robbery, homicide, burglary, and auto theft, all went down by more than four-fifths, by more than 80%.
Now you're making the mayor very happy.
Well, the mayor should be very happy. New York City is the only place among the major industrial countries where there has been, over time, huge changes in the population that should increase rates of violent crime. But New York City's homicides in 2009 and 2010 are actually lower as a rate than they were in 1961. Now, the national totals talk about how crime is down to where it was in the 1970s. No place else is down to where it was in the 1960s. The name of the book that I've just finished is called The City That Became Safe. And there is no indication that the blip in 2010 in the city of New York is any interruption of the downtrend. If you look at the first months of 2011, homicides, which are again are the most reliable indication of the most serious crime, are down. Now, there will be a point at which New York City touches bottom. There are all of the changes that have been made in the New York crime decline have been without massive changes in the population structure, mm-hmm. without massive changes in the economy, without the imprisonment boom in the last 20 years that have been going on in the rest of the country.
And your answer gets to the point of the two courses I took with you in law school, that statistics always have to be understood in the larger context. Otherwise, they're misunderstood terribly. Let's take a call from Jack, who is in Brooklyn and has a question for Professor Frank Zimring. Jack, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I'm just wondering if the professor is factoring in the fudge factor, where for political reasons or reasons for reimbursement, the statistics are overinflated or understated nationwide and certainly in New York City.
By law enforcement, are
yes,
you suggesting?
By law enforcement, sir.
All right. Professor Zimring, how about that? How do you work with your numbers in terms of law enforcement under or over inflation?
It's a good question, and it's an important question. Let me back up and be professorial for a minute. The problem is that the same people who are keeping score, the police, have a vested interest. They look good when crime is down, and they look bad when crime is up. So historically, that has been a massive problem because that incentive creates a situation where you can't trust the veracity of the police statistics. For the study of New York decline, where, for instance, we have auto theft is down in New York City by 94% by 2009 from its 1990 level. That's Guinness Book of World Records, but how do you know that it's real? The best way to measure that is to find a completely independent source for measuring auto thefts to see if the decline is as big and happens at the same time. Now, it happens that auto insurance theft claims are a completely independent statistical source, and that's exactly what we did in New York City. And guess what? The decline was as big, a little bit over 90% instead of 94%, and happened at the same time. So that's the way in which you can check the veracity of police reports. We did that also with homicides, where the county health department has a vital statistics count of homicides. It's a slightly different category. But again, over time, the statistical correlation with what the police did in New York City was 0.999. That's the kind of thing that only mathematics, statistics people make up in the real world. So the decline is real there. We did it again with robbery. Now, that doesn't mean that every theft that happens in New York City gets reported. That doesn't mean that we don't have to monitor and audit statistical reporting. But what it does mean is that the enormous decline over time in the city of New York was a real one, and that whatever remaining infelicities we have in the reporting system weren't creating an artificial crime drop. We don't know that about the nationwide totals. The reason that's reliable is that the most reliable of the crime statistics, which is homicide, because every county has an independent vital statistics count, a second way in which you can check the veracity of the police, that homicide then becomes a marker for violent crime rates. And when homicide goes down or up, it's a good indication of the general violence picture. And homicide, as you pointed out, Jamie, has been down in the 2 years, which are the lately good bafflement we're dealing with.
Well, it is a rare occasion, but a good occasion when we can report some good news. And I'm pleased that we were able to do it with you, Professor Frank Zimring. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Professor Frank Zimring is the William G. Simon Professor of Law and Wolfson Distinguished Scholar at the Berkeley Law School. He joined us by phone from California. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up next, the World Science Festival.